right, guys, welcome to a brand new episode of SideQuest Podcast. Listen in and level up. I have a great episode for you today, but first, as always, let's get through the show notes. If you're not following the Facebook page, head over to Facebook, type SideQuest Fitness into the search bar, and like the page. There, you're going to get updates on podcast episodes, articles when they get posted, and you're going to get a brand new taco recipe every Tuesday for Taco Camp, plus lots of other shenanigans and nerd talk throughout the week, so make sure you head over to Facebook. You can follow me on Instagram. My handle is SideQuestFM. If you want to see some cool videos and random stuff on Instagram as well, you can follow me on Instagram. Same handle, SideQuestFM. Or follow me on Snapchat, SideQuestFit. Follow me there. Send me your questions. I want to get all the questions from you, help you as much as I can on your fitness journey or your journey in life, whatever it may be. But head over to Snapchat, SideQuestFit. Follow me there. You get a little more personal, in-depth look at the shenanigans I get into throughout every day. But I do love getting questions from the community, so please send them out to me. If you have not left a review for the podcast, please head over to iTunes. If you're not listening on iTunes and you listen on SoundCloud or Stitcher, leave a review there as well. When you leave reviews, it helps me move up the charts on the iTunes store so that more people can see and hear the amazing guests that I've had on and have on each and every single week. So make sure you head over there. And don't forget, if you haven't picked up your copy of the 7 Principles of Fat Loss, head over to sidequestfitness.com/7principles, and you can pick up your copy of the 7 Principles of Fat Loss. These are the same 7 principles I follow each and every day and teach my clients to help them shred away more body fat, unlock heroic strength, and just look better naked. So if you want to unlock strength or just look better naked in the mirror, head over again, grab those 7 principles of fat loss, and start following those today. What's up, guys? Welcome to the show. So over the last few months, you have heard me talking about my online clients, and you've heard from a few of my online clients as well about what they've done on their fitness quest with me. With summer heading in, I am taking a few more clients on to help people get ready for summer, help you get ready for bikini season or swimsuit season, or maybe this is your first time. Maybe you've decided that that's it. You want to get in shape and you need someone to help you with your journey. You need a Gandalf and a Samwise to guide you as you head into Frodo. And I am your Gandalf and Samwise all packed in to one. I am taking on a few more clients. If you are interested, head over to sidequestfitness.com/coach and check out the page. You can apply there. You can find out more about what coaching entails and also see some of the amazing transformations that my clients have had while working with me. So head over to sidequestfitness.com/coach and apply today. All right, guys, welcome to the show. I have a great guest for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about meditation and yoga and how taking a more Jedi approach can help you with your fitness goals and feeling better and living a more impactful life, helping to reduce stress. My friend Mike Sweetman of The Force Within heads over and talks to me. You can check all of this as well over on the show notes to get his links to his YouTube channel, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram as well. Mike's doing a lot of really, really great stuff over on YouTube. So head over to sidequestfitness.com/forcewithin, and then you can get all those links is there because we do talk about some really great books and resources as well for you to check out. But I hope you enjoy this episode. I know that I am a little bit more on the Sith side. I do enjoy the bad guys a little bit more than the Jedi. And we could get into a whole discussion. Maybe I'll do a whole podcast one day on how they're eerily kind of similar in a lot of ways. But meditation is something that a lot of people are doing and getting into these days. And Mike is really good at what he does. And I really love his story as well. So let's get into the show and hear from my boy, Mike Sweetman.
Step up and you gotta get it fitness. Host Rob at the moment and the quest is, you gotta check it and wreck it. You're breaking personal records and with the help of the guests, you won't be guessing on the lessons. That's a +5 fears. Got a low key BAMF right here. You wanna meet him, there's no better way to greet him than to strike a boss pose. Take a look into the mirror.
All right, guys, welcome to the show. I have a great guest for you today. The one and the only, well, He is the one and the only. He might be the one and the only Jedi that I would have a conversation with. And we might talk a little bit about Jedi and Sith here in this podcast. But he is a fitness enthusiast. He's a husband, a father, a teacher as well. But he's a little bit more on the meditation side of things. But he has a great, great website called Be a Healthy Geek that he's now changed. And I'll let him talk about the change because it's a little Star Wars influence. But the one and the only Mike Sweetman, welcome to the show. Mike.
Hey, thanks, Robbie. Thanks for having me on. And I just launched a new site called forcewithin.net. And it's sort of that connection between mindfulness and the Jedi and living a more intentional life, implementing some meditation into your life, whether that's for to help you focus during a lift or it's to help you get through bedtime with your kids. So however that works for you.
Okay. All right. Bedtime with the kids. I don't have children. So, I have listeners and I have friends and I have clients who are parents and I don't understand those things. I'm assuming having hung out with my niece and nephew, that those are things you would definitely need in getting the kids to sleep. I just bribe them with toys and things.
Bribery only works so long, man. As a parent, you got to resort to other things.
So, Mike, like you used to be Be a Healthy Geek. That was the website. Why change to Force Within? Like what brought you to the Jedi Order, if you will.
Yeah, so I started a yoga teacher training in 2016, and it was something that I could do through my school board. And it was, I was really debating whether I wanted to do a master's in something or do the yoga. The master's comes with a pay upgrade. The yoga didn't, but it was a little more affordable and a little less time commitment. And I just decided, health is such a big priority for me. And I think this is something I have three girls now. And I just thought like the yoga teacher training is something that I can hopefully use at school in my own life and then help support my family and my girls. So that really, that got the ball rolling. While I was there, I became really good friends with a guy who was really into Star Wars. We were both into Star Wars. It was like, 50 people in the program and three of them were guys and two of us were into Star Wars. So that was pretty cool. And he during his final project, he started bringing in all these Star Wars quotes that related to mindfulness and meditation and yoga. One of them by Qui-Gon Jinn, I remember, is always remember your focus. What is it? Your focus dictates your reality or something. I think I screwed that up, but it's something like that. It's very close to being like that. So, I had this sort of awakening, if you will, and really got into meditation. I started reading. He recommended I read Mark Divine, and Mark Divine is a former Navy SEAL. He's really into yoga, meditation. He's also into CrossFit and martial arts. Obviously he was a Navy SEAL commander at one point. So, all these things have just led me to wanting, to realizing that mindset, stress relief, are just so important when it comes to being healthy. And, Be a Healthy Geek was more about fitness and nutrition. And I just felt like I wanted to transition to more of that mindfulness and meditation and helping people with that. So Force Within was born, and that's where I'm headed. I'm hoping to actually once everything's up and running, it's still pretty early days, become a mindset coach, stress relief coach.
I that is one of the things I'm really focusing on for myself. And something I will eventually write about. I'm trying to take a little more time on my writing this year. And you know, spend some good time writing good emails to my list. But my articles like really focus on really crafting something that I really put my heart and soul into. And one of the things I've been thinking about is stress, because so many people are doing the right things and they don't see results. And one of the biggest reasons is not like they're in a calorie deficit. They're working out, but it's their stress levels, which affects their sleep, and they're not sleeping enough. And, you know, cortisol over time, too much of it can become a neurotoxin, and it can actually be detrimental to your body. So stress is something I'm really harping on with clients this year as well. How do you deal with stress? How does yoga help you deal with that? How does we will go into the codes in a little while between the Jedi, but we'll focus on how does that help you deal with stress, and how do you take meditation to help you overcome all the anxiety that you can feel?
So when I do yoga consistently and meditation, which I have been doing since the beginning of 2016, I've found that, you know, when I'm dealing with students at school, when I'm dealing with my family members, whatever it might be, I'm more mindful and conscious of my thoughts and feelings. So when it comes to late at night when I'm spent and I've already, been tested by the students in my classroom all day, and I've come home and I'm tired and I'm trying to get my kids in bed, I have that extra patience. I can tell when I'm starting to get really frustrated and I need to breathe and I need to take a moment to refocus. So it's just, you know, it sort of gives you this space. When it comes to certain situations, and allows you to focus on what is most important. I also use it. I do yoga and meditation before I do a lift at the, I lift at home, but I find that it gets me focused on what I'm doing. I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm just in it, and allows me to get through it quicker, and it allows me to punch through any barriers that I might have.
Okay. So when you lift at home, what are you doing now? Because I have clients that work out at home, and there are probably people who are listening that you might work out at home as well. What's your routine look like at home? Do you have a full gym, or is it just like some body weight stuff?
Yeah, no, it's just I got a chin up bar, and I have like a yoga ball, exercise ball, whatever you want to call it. And I have dumbbells and a barbell, but it's just, you know, it's just a matter of weights. You know, my background, I was a university football player for 5 years, and, you know, we had some great strength and conditioning coaches. So I feel like I understand weightlifting quite well. There was a period of my life where I did, I was a gym rat for sure, probably about 10 years. And, I it's just a matter of doing some, I'm not trying to put on muscle. It's a matter of, as a dad now, it's just trying to stay in shape and make sure I can, lift my kids up when they want me to, and, not break my back, that sort of thing. So it's sort of high repetitions. Okay. That sort of thing.
So what was the training like for university football? Because you were in Canada, and not that like there's that many differences between Canada and the US, but you guys, your football is a little different. Your football's a little different than the NFL.
Oh, for sure.
So I mean, I would assume that you know, you train very similarly, but what was that like for you, and how much of that have you continued to keep? Because for a lot of people, and I know myself included, like the reason I knew how to lift weights when I first started my fitness quest was because I had lifted weights in a class with like football players in high school. Like I'd hung out with those guys, like that, like I knew the basic stuff. Yeah. There were still things I had to learn, but I knew what a squat was. I knew what a bench press was. How much of that stays with you?
Yeah, no, I mean, all of it really. I mean, I'm doing, as far as, addressing the first part of your question there, like what we did, it was, we had an entire year long program. It shifted about every 4 weeks. I think one of the bigger things that we were recommended to do that the average person doesn't in the weight room is record exactly how much you've done. And once you're ready to move on to a new weight, I think that's a big difference. And that made a big difference in my gains. But you know, as your typical big body parts, so squats, your deadlifts, bench, right. And just making sure that we're transitioning through, and doing different things such as, you know, for 1 month, it would be, you know, the barbell bench press, then it'd be dumbbell. We'd throw in different things like close grip bench press, you know, so it's front squats, back squats, deadlifts, straight leg deadlifts. So,
typical sort of training.
Yeah. Yeah. Typical. So, and I know there was a second part to your question, but I think I forgot it there. How much did I retain? Right.
Yeah.
How much of that have I retained?
Right. How much of that have you retained? Like, you know, over the years, like how much, did you continue doing that after you quit playing university football? Like, or was it like dusting the cobwebs off? Did it take a while?
Yeah. No. Well, I definitely didn't do, I definitely expanded like what I was doing because I had done so much of the basically the football training. We were on the same, similar program, for the 5 years that I was playing. So I definitely, I really appreciate your Instagram, exercises that you, I thought I knew quite a bit and I don't think I've actually heard of any of the exercises you're posting up on Instagram. So, it reminds me of post football. That's what I was looking for. I was just looking for new things, right?
Yeah.
To try out. And, I definitely found some cool things, but.
All right. You know, I had a question in the middle of that, and then you complimented me, and my stupid ego like rolled up in and was like, "Oh, you complimented me, Mike. Hello, the ego is here." Stupid ego.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I don't want to brag, but just to show what is possible, while I was playing football, I put on 30 pounds during those years, and I went from one rep at 225 to 21, and that was just over a 5 year period.
Wait, 21 reps at 225?
21 reps at 225.
You realize that like that would have like put you really high at the NFL combine. Like that's one of the things is how many reps of the at 225 can they do at the NFL combine? Like,
yeah.
21's baller, dude.
Yeah. I was pretty happy with that. The unfortunately that year I ran like a 5 flat. So I was slow as crap.
What position did you play?
Linebacker.
All right.
So weak side linebacker. Yeah.
All right. So you transitioned to doing yoga, and you still do, you know, your weight training, but it's not like it was. How difficult? Because I'll be honest, my junior and senior year of high school, and then like 2.5 months into college, once I realized I could sleep in, and that like I didn't have to do it, I was like, I'm just gonna sleep in. Our morning routine in our theater class, I should write about this, was we did some breathing exercises and yoga. Like we did yoga in the morning. For one, it was a way, I think, for my theater teacher to get a few more quiet moments and sip on some coffee. Two, it was a way to make sure we were focused because it is until the school opens, and I mean, you're a teacher, unless Canada is different, you guys could be totally different. Like the school opens at a certain time, but like you can drop kids off and they're just hanging out. Like you're hanging out and you're talking. And then,
yeah, no, it's same here.
Okay. You're just ramped up. You're ready to go. And then you got to worry for like the first 30 minutes is trying to calm everybody down and get them focused. So that's why she did this. So I did yoga for a little while, nothing intensive, like basic, just real, real basic stuff.
Yep.
But it was really hard for me, even though I had played sports my whole life. So how hard was it for you as you transitioned into doing yoga? What really challenged you?
Well, I first started yoga to support my wife's journey into fitness. It was my first year teaching. We were way up north. It was isolated, and there wasn't a lot of else. There wasn't much else to do. It was, there was a gym at the school, but it came down to, I still remember, Robbie, the first time I ever did yoga, I just thought to myself, like, there's more to this than just exercise. Like, I feel different.
Yeah.
When I finish yoga, I feel calm and relaxed. And I was like, this is going to be important my first year of teaching. You know what I mean? When there's so many pressures on me. So, I never really lost that. As far as really challenging yourself, I think, there are lots of things that you can do to challenge yourself, such as headstands or handstands or whatever that might be. I find that that's a lot of fun, right? Falling on my rear end, trying to do a handstand or whatnot. The other thing is, I actually got, it must have been almost 3 years ago now, I got back into yoga. And that was because I hurt myself running, and I'd done too much running, and my calves, had started acting up, and I started doing yoga, and it allowed me to get back out there running. So it's got, it definitely has, it's more than just something that's going to relax you and develop, it develops your flexibility. I mean, it can help you really focus as well.
Are you, so this is just me, and I know I do a lot of talking, but I just try to like weave a story in before I get to a question. but it is something I am trying to work on. Like I do want to listen, but I need to create a story before I get to the question. My brain works very fast. It's always moving. Even at like my best friend's wedding, like I took a break from dancing and I was like, I want to write. I need to write. And my wife came over. She was like, are you okay? I was like, my mind. There's so many things. Like so much that like I'm here with all these old friends and like we're having a great time. And like, I want to experience, like I want to soak this experience up, but I want to like write about it. I want to put it down, what it means. My brain is just always working. Meditation has been hard for me. And I enjoyed it, and I do enjoy it because there is a part of me with a certain song. Actually, it's the theme song or the beginning song to Boondock Saints. For some reason, I just imagine my spirit floating over like Ireland and Scotland, and like over the mountains and the mist, and I can get really at peace with that song. And I know I've been in a place where through meditation, trying to do it backstage as an actor. Where like it's helped me really get into the character. It's helped me move out of myself. But in my everyday life, I kind of suck at it. I don't really like it. Like now my brain is moving everywhere. How do you overcome that? What do you do with meditation that helps you silence your brain? Because that's like, what could I do? What could you give me to help me actually make meditation worthwhile?
Well, first of all, if you find meditation a challenge, that's like a big indicator that it'll definitely have a positive impact on you. It's definitely something you should be doing. Secondly, I mean, as far as advice, I found when I first started that having a guided meditation, are you doing guided meditations versus just trying to meditate yourself?
I've used Calm. I've used Headspace. I guess I try to recreate in my mind those moments of that I had years and years ago. And I breathe and I just focus on my breathing, but I just get too antsy. And I just my mind does not like to settle. Now, and maybe this is different. It's something that like my friend Tanner and I have talked about, is that like reading for us is almost meditative. Which I guess is counterintuitive, because if you're having to read, you have to create the story, like you have to read the story and create like where they are and you have to experience it, but it feels meditative to me.
Oh, I think there's lots of things that can get you in that state. A walk in the woods.
Oh, you know, God, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I would say though, to get back to your original question there, Robbie, I think, you know, you need something, you might want to try like a mantra where you're sort of repeating a mantra. That's something because you're focusing on something very specific.
Is it wrong if my mantra is I am awesome, 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 I am awesome?
No.
Yes! Mike, you are my new best friend. I like it.
Yeah, you might want to – I mentioned reading Mark Divine earlier too. He suggests box breathing, and it's just basically an inhale for 4 seconds, hold your breath for 4 seconds, exhale 4 seconds, hold your breath 4 seconds, and that's your box, right? So again, you have something that you're focused, you're very focused on as you're meditating. So that I find that actually that, you know, that can help some days because I mean, there's lots of days where I sit down and, you know, even after meditating for over a year now, every day, well, just about every day, you know, it's, my mind's still racing, you know, meditating after playing video games for a couple hours is really interesting.
You know what, depending on the game, I might need that. Cause sometimes I get angry, man. And I want to race.
But like my mind is just on fire. Yeah. After I play video games and I sit down to, and that's what I do is I do that box breathing and you know, it's just, I'll start seeing the video game, right. As I'm meditating. Another thing with that box breathing, that's great is you can actually, while you're holding your breath, if you want to say I'm awesome and then breathe out, I'm awesome. So sort of an affirmation. Breathe in. So that's a nice way to sort of focus on not just your breathing, but again, something that might be a good, you know, happy medium for you where you're doing the box breathing. It's something to focus on, but you also have some sort of mantra that you're repeating as well.
I like this idea of box breathing. I don't use it with a lot of clients, at least not with online clients, just because the video is like 10 minutes long and you're like, oh God, I have to watch a 10 minute long video. But there are some breathing exercises that you can actually do in between sets. And I'll describe it real quick. I'm not Eric Cressy, who's like a genius at all this stuff, because that's what he does. But so you get done doing your squats and you come out and on one side of the squat rack, you basically go down into the deepest squat position that you can, basically ass to grass, as far as you can get. Arms up above you holding the squat rack, so that your lats are extended. And then you have to, you know, push your rib cage down and think about breathing and keeping that rib cage down. Cause what happens a lot of times when people lift, that rib cage comes up and flares out. And that can actually create a lot of issues in the shoulder girdle area. But those are some like small breathing things that you can do and some other exercises in between that they use with clients. But how or can box breathing like help you improve your workouts? Can you do it in between sets? Can you do it in a set? Like, what is it applicable?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Mark Divine is, it's what he suggests. And he's, you know, he's part of the CrossFit movement. And it's just a way to focus your mind, right? It's a way to focus so that you're more intentional about your workout. You're thinking about, you know, how you're lifting. And like I said, I think I said earlier is, you know, it allows me to sort of just punch through those barriers that I have. I'm setting myself up for success, especially if while I'm doing that box breathing, I'm saying some affirmations, you know, I got this, I'm going to do this. You know, whatever it is you want, I'm awesome. That one works too. That works too. So yeah, I think it definitely has its place, before a lift. I also like doing, yoga before to help me focus and after as a cool down. And then I do the box breathing to sort of just chill out.
Okay. So I like that you sort of talk about it as a ritual beforehand and sort of getting yourself in that mindset. I think for many people, if you watch professional sports, and I know I do, some of my listeners may not, some may, but you see the sort of rituals that people go through. They have their same stretches. They have the same things they do. Like Michael Phelps last summer, there was a whole meme about that, like, look on his face, but like, he's got the same playlist he's had since he started winning gold medals, and it works. So it gets him in that mindset. What is your ritual? What's your ritual before you start working out that helps you get through your workout?
Yeah. So it's very similar to how I start my day. I do a sun salutation B, and it's just modified. So that's sort of starting in mountain pose, nice and tall, forward bend down into like a plank position, back to downward dog. And I'm doing this a little quick. I'm skipping a couple of things into warrior one. And it gets your entire body going, right? So you're engaging your chest, your back, your legs, you're doing lunges. And so it's a good warm up, but it's the main thing with the yoga and warming up, is that I love doing yoga by myself. A strange thing to say, but it's just, focusing on, you can focus on your breath when you're doing it by yourself, and it's meditative, right? It's allowing you to focus. So in the morning, as my morning routine, I do the yoga followed by the box breathing. And what the yoga really does is it's again, that meditative practice, but it wakes me up. So I usually down some water, which helps me wake up as well. And then the yoga, it's engaging all those muscles and wakes me up so that I don't fall asleep when I'm trying to box breathe or when I'm, when I try to meditate. So, it's not complicated. I mean, a lot of people, I've talked to friends and people online, and their big worry always seems to be like, am I doing this right? Like what, and it's always, no, just follow the process. Everything's good. Don't dote yourself. And I think that's the biggest hurdle. And I mean, I was there too. I like the fact that I started with Headspace and Andy Petticombe, the voice you're listening to, and meditation guru. He actually tells you, he's like, yes, people often think that they're often wondering, like, am I doing this right? And then you're sitting there thinking about, well, am I doing this right? while you're trying not to think, and then, it's pretty funny, but. But yeah, I mean, it's meditation. It can be really rewarding, whether you're doing it first thing in the morning or before a workout.
You talked about process. What are some of the key things if someone wants to start meditation? And I know I'm gonna shout him out. So Chris, what up, bro? I'm shouting you out on the podcast. He follows us on Twitter, and I know he and I chat via email, and you guys chat as well. Captain America, his name is Christopher Evans. What's up, buddy? But I know he started this meditation for himself. He started doing it. When he sort of talked to you about things and things you tell people, what are some of the key things in the process, the starting process? Because let's be honest, starting anything sucks. Because you ask yourself, you have those moments where you're like, am I doing this right? Oh, God, I feel like a failure. You know what? I just want to go back to like not feeling like I'm doing something wrong. I'd rather just know I'm doing something wrong than thinking, am I doing it wrong? I'll just not do it. So what are some of the key things that you give people when they start the process, like the key processes they can implement to really make this stick and work?
I think, it's just a matter of focusing on your breath. Like, it's not complicated there. I don't think there is a massive detail that needs to be implemented.
So it's just as simple as focusing on my breath.
Yeah. That's it, man.
That's, you know what? The simple things are always the hardest, but Mike, my brain is telling me I'm not doing it right. You're telling me all I have to do is focus on my breathing.
What if I start thinking about the ball game that was last night? What if I randomly start thinking about the girl in high school I had a crush on, and then start thinking, why am I thinking about this girl from high school?
That's perfect. That's perfect. You should be, right? Your mind's not, your mind's not just going to be completely silent, especially when you're just getting started. So I think if there is any advice other than just focusing on your breath is, and this is something that Andy Pettacomb says, is just think about when you get off track, right? Which can be very discouraging. And you do go down that path where you're thinking about your high school girlfriend and you come back to your breathing. Right? You come back and you're focusing on your breathing. That's like doing the bicep curl and building the muscle, right? So it's a matter of, it's not how long you've been off track and you haven't been focusing on your breathing. It's the fact that you came back to your breathing. And that's why I like the guided meditation, because the guided meditation, especially for beginners, because, you know, it will bring you back. Whereas if you're trying to do the box breathing, you can get off track for 2 or 3 minutes and there's really nothing to get you back to focusing on your breathing. Right. So,
okay. All right. All right. I know for me, I did enjoy it, and it was a bit of a struggle, but, let's get into some fun questions. Then we'll nerd out a little, just a teensy weensy bit. Mike, if you could go anywhere in a time machine, where would you go?
Ooh, good question. Anywhere in a time machine. So we're going back in time. It would be, it's kind of weird, but it would be interesting to go back to Europe during World War II or I, and just, you know, it'd be horrible to witness those things, but
you're the second person to say that, where they were like, yeah, I'm going to go back and watch Vikings, like,
I don't know,
rape and pillage, and then be like, oh, was, why am I
yeah, here? Vikings too. That's a good one. I don't know why that's the first thing that came to my mind. I was originally thinking, I was like, oh, if I could travel anywhere, I'd like to go to Europe, because I've been all over Canada and, in Australia, but I really wanted to go to Europe. So maybe that's what what part of it was.
I think there were many things we would go back in time and witness and be like, you know what? I want to go hang out with like Seneca and be like, man, you're a boring stoic douchebag. Kind of. I don't really like you. You're not as cool as I thought. Oh, you know what? I want to go hang out with Aristotle. And Aristotle, you're just like, dude, you just play hacky sack all day. I don't like who are you're not even as cool as I thought you were going to be. Who knows? Yeah. Mike, what's the last new thing you tried?
Sorry, you just cut out there, Robbie. What did you say?
What's the last new thing you've tried?
I just started doing Tai Chi about four or five weeks ago.
How's that?
So, yeah, really cool. I mean, you know, I like yoga, but Tai Chi sort of has that martial arts to it. So that's interesting new aspect to sort of a mindful movement. And I've never really, when I was really young, I did martial arts, but I've never really done anything that was sort of a martial art, anytime lately anyway. So, it was very good. I did find though that it's all lower body. Like it's a lot of crouching, and I just found like, man, I just really want to get down into a plank or a downward dog, or, you know what I mean? It's just kind of weird comparing the two between yoga.
Yeah.
I just feel like my upper body really wants to do something other than, you know, hold like arm poses or whatever it might be. But yeah, no, still like after an hour of Tai Chi, super chilled, right? Just, yeah, very cool.
What store would you max your credit card out at?
Max my credit card out at? Ooh, that's a good one. Comic book shop. I mean, I'm behind on my Star Wars comics. I would love to just go buy them all the stuff, really. I'm a big board gamer too. Love playing X-Wing miniatures games, so I would go buy all the ships because I'm behind on buying those too.
What's your favorite Star Wars board game that you've ever played? I mean, is it X-Wing miniatures? Because I have my own, and it's one that They did for like a year. You know, they had a Star Wars one, they had a Transformers one, and then they stopped making it. But you can still buy it. Like, if you buy it brand new on eBay, it'll cost you damn near $400.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite Star Wars board game?
It is X-Wing, the X-Wing miniatures game right now. I mean, Fantasy Flight Games is putting out really awesome Star Wars, whether you're into like RPG role-playing game or just miniature games or card games, whatever it might be. They have the license, Star Wars license, when it comes to gaming, and they're doing a phenomenal job. X-Wing is – it's just played – it's, you know, it's very easy to get started. It's only a $50 buy-in. You get an X-Wing and a couple TIE fighters. You need like a 3x3 space to play in. And it's a competitive miniature game. And traditionally, competitive miniature games need like a 6x4 table, and you need to paint everything. And this comes pre-painted. They look great. It's, you know, as someone who transitioned from having lots of time to sort of invest in a war game, tabletop game, to being a dad and having very little of that time, it was really great to get into. So, yeah, there's not a story necessarily, but it is. I'm a big strategy junkie, and that's what it is. It's like chess with X-Wings and TIE fighters, right? How can you go wrong?
I've not got to play it. I did get to play Imperial Assault, which is kind of cool because the one guy, like one person is the Empire, and then like you get to be the Rebels, and you have like he knows everything. Like you have no idea what like shit you're getting into. But my favorite was Star Wars Epic Duels, which was a great board game, really easy, simple to play, nothing crazy and competitive. But we played it all the time in college, and I found a guy online who created a few other characters. So a friend of mine has Grievous and Admiral Akbar. But it was a great, really great game. I still love it to this day. So if anyone is listening and you were like, oh my God, I love Star Wars Epic Duels too, and you happen to be a programmer who can program an app, you should program Star Wars Epic Duels, the board game, as an app so that the rest of the world can play the awesomeness on their phone. Basically, just so I can play it with my friends because I'm not in the same town with them anymore. And I'm totally not putting a whisper hand up to my mouth right now whatsoever. I'm also wearing pants, and I'll let you decide whether that's true or not. But anyways, so let's do a little, we'll do a little Star Wars chat real quick. Why Star Wars for you? Why does that, you know, because obviously you're not going to create, you know, the Force Within if you're just like a 25 or 40% Star Wars fan. Like, you got to be pretty invested. So why Star Wars for you?
Well, it's funny because I haven't always been a huge Star Wars fan. I mean, I've always enjoyed the movies. I didn't read a lot of the Legends book, or at the time it was called the Extended Universe, because I just didn't know.
It is
not Legends.
It is the Extended Universe. I don't care what anyone says. Ben Solo is not the child. Hey, no. I will be that raging nerd. I will say it. The Catholics and the Protestants get two separate Bibles. Star Wars fans can do the same thing. And Anakin and Jason and... I never get her name right. I say Jaeen, or
Mara Jaina, Jade,
whatever. Jaina, or is it Jane?
Mara Jade.
No, Mara Jade. Mara Jade marries
Luke. Yeah,
and then they give birth to Ben Skywalker, not Ben Solo. Thrawn still existed, though they did bring him in Rebels. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Those things still happened. It still happened.
Well. The funny thing is the new canon, actually starting to play at the X-Wing miniatures game, like it totally drew me into the Star Wars universe. And that was only a few years ago. So I rewatched all the movies. I read the Bane trilogy. So good. Right. Some X-Wing, the X-Wing Squadron books. And then there was Disney took over, and everything was sort of all the extended universe was pushed to the side, and I sort of became a canon junkie. So I started watching Clone Wars on Netflix.
God, I don't know how you. I can't do it because of Jar Jar. There's like an episode where Jar. I'm like, no. I will like. I can't do it.
You got to watch the Darth Maul arc, though. Like that's some pretty solid stuff.
Well, I know they bring him in, and I know they continue.
So I was able to watch that. I started reading all the new books. Like there was only a couple coming out at a time, so there was one that was related to Star Wars Rebels. Can't remember the name right now, but and then the comics came out. So I sort of digging into it deeper and deeper. And the catalyst was X-Wing miniatures. And, you know, it just, the deeper I got into the canon, and then I had this sort of experience, like I had already mentioned with the yoga teacher training and having that friend that was into Star Wars. And I just realized like, I'm really starting to get into Star Wars and mindfulness. And it's like drawing this inspiration from the Jedi, and trying to live a similar life to them. That's sort of what got me into it, you know, and that was the catalyst for Force Within was, hey, if I can try and be calm, confident and focused like a Jedi in my everyday life, then this is going to have some serious benefits.
What trips you up in your everyday life? What is your dark side? What dark side attacks you?
Oh, it's like the Jedi say, right? Like try not to have any attachments. And I'm very attached to my family and I always want them to be happy. And when they're not, I get really frustrated. And unfortunately, it's just the facts of life that you know, especially at bedtime, everybody's not going to be happy. So yeah, that's when I have to remember to breathe. Cause it's funny. I always seem to be able to draw on this reserve of patience at school with a lot of the students. But when it comes to those I love the most at home, and this is really another catalyst for this whole journey. It's just yelling at my kids is just not okay. Like that's not the person I want to be. And I know, that's how the majority of people feel. That's what really got me into meditation in the first place.
I think that is one of those reasons why I don't want kids. I'm not going there. That's a secret post I've written about that will never get published just because I'm too selfish to publish it. And I don't want to talk about those things. But I understand that. Cause I see that with, my parents were very quick to yell and do those things. And I see it with my niece and nephew and, I see my nephew make a mistake and he feels like he literally just hit the button on the Death Star and blew up like three planets in a row or something. And like, he gets this look of like, oh my God, I'm in so trouble. And you just like, he's expecting to be yelled at and you're not going to yell at him in any way whatsoever. But he just mm-hmm. feels like that's what's going to come. So I can totally understand why that connected with you.
Yeah. Especially with three girls, like, young ladies have so many pressures on them growing up nowadays with the media and everything. And it's just, I wanted to make sure that I was someone that was going to be boosting their self-esteem and self-worth, not tearing it down. Right. So
right.
Anyway, somehow we were talking about Star Wars and we got it back to my kids, but.
Hey, listen, I've always said this podcast is like two guys hanging out, having a beer. We could randomly start talking about giraffes, and anything. So, it goes where it goes. So let's get back to sort of some fitness stuff and then we'll sort of wrap up, the show. One thing that I know happens when people get older and I I have a piece I'm sort of working on because you mentioned that, you know, running sort of messed your knees up and started hurting you a little bit. You know, calves really just, I don't train them as much as I should. But if you're listening to right now, one of the key things I will tell you to do to really start doing to help your body feel better, ankle mobility, any ankle stretches you can do, start lifting in your socks. Like if you lift in athletic, like sneakers, start lifting in flat Converses or your socks. You'll notice you get more dorsiflexion out of your ankle. Your squats will feel better. Your deadlifts, you're going to be like, oh my God, I can feel the floor beneath me. You'll have so much more leg drive. If your gym says they don't really like that, then get Converses or those toe shoes, Five Fingers, something like that. Those can help. But really focusing on, a lot of times, working around your ankle, because your calves can get, a lot of that can get really tight. But you do get a lot of those stretches in yoga. You get a lot of those positions that you might not normally be in. How has yoga sort of helped you in preventing injuries, you know, continuing with your body weight or barbell training?
Well, like I already mentioned with the coming back from that injury, yoga was a big part of that with the flexibility. funny enough, it's actually I took a break from lifting right after Christmas, and I was just like, I just felt like my ego was driving the whole situation. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take a break and I'm going to evaluate why I need to lift. And I don't want this to be ego driven. And I realized during that time, and I kept doing yoga during that time, that my back started to hurt. My legs, my calf muscles started to hurt a bit more. So it's actually, I've found the combination of lifting weights and the yoga does a great job of balancing, you know, my body's muscle makeup, or I don't know what would be a better word for that, but you know, so
it's a combination. Better doing both.
Yeah, I feel better doing both. Exactly. So it's you know, I feel there's more balance there. So I'm back at it because, you know, I gotta lift up kids and swing them around and make sure my back isn't broken at the end of the day, right? So
true. And I think that's something that, like, a lot of people, one thing I would say is that with smart programming, you can do more things that makes your body feel good. I think a lot of times people think, I gotta go heavy and hard. You know, you see these CrossFit things, and I will not CrossFit. I think it does some good things. It got a lot of people into doing lifts that they would normally have never done, and challenged themselves. But you know, there are some issues that I do have with it, that sometimes you go too fast, too quick. And what tends to happen sometimes is, as newbies or someone who is sort of new in that space, you want to keep up with others, even though the teacher is like, hey, you don't have to, you know, it's the, I used to know the name of it. It's a psychological effect. Not the Coriolis effect. That's with bullets and curving, the Earth's curvature. I used to know what it was. It starts with a K. Kohler effect. So that, like, the weak, like in a group, the weakest will go longer than what they normally would by themselves because they don't want to look like the weakest in the group. So I think sometimes that will happen with people in sort of group settings, and that, like, you don't, like, push yourself to the limit. But we think too many times we have to go hard and heavy all the time. And you don't. You can still do yoga, and then people want to throw in, like, I'm going to do cardio and yoga and this class and that class and lifting and this, and they do too much. But yoga is enough that, like, you could do it once or twice a week on a rest day. And it's a great thing to do on a rest day because it's mobility and flexibility and stretching.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of essentialism. I don't know if you've read that book, but
I have not.
Like, check it out. It's what is essential to you. And as a dad with three kids, and, you know, one of them is only 10 months old, you know, it was 10 months ago, I really had to reevaluate how I was going to be healthy. And going for long runs, which was what I was doing mostly prior to that, just didn't work out. Like, I needed to be at the house supporting my family, my wife especially, who wasn't getting much sleep, right? She was up with my youngest during the night. So that, you know, the yoga was already there. It was already part of my routine, but that's when the weights, that's when I was like, you know what, I got to get back to the weights, and that's something I can be doing to stay healthy. So I think you have to think about, like, what is most essential for me as a person, but you know, what works at the time, and you have to be adaptable. I don't think, you know, one of the worst things you could do is think, I am a weightlifter, that's what I do. I'm not going to try anything else. Like, get out there, try new things, like your question. And, you know, like I did with the Tai Chi, right? I think that's very important when it comes to health. You know, if you're thinking, meditation, I don't need that, I'm not stressed, but give it a try. It only take a couple minutes, right? And it might change your life. It just certainly has for me.
I think that's an important distinction to make, in that, like, you're not going to be perfect, and you're not going to be, you know, at the same level someone else is who's been doing it for years. But trying new and different things and seeing how your body can adapt and move, it's going to do tons of things. If you only do bodybuilding stuff, maybe try some powerlifting stuff. If you only do powerlifting, do some bodybuilding, because it'll actually help you build more muscle and strength. If you are a lifter and don't do cardio is important. You can do sprints, you can do steady state. If you don't do yoga really is that's mobility training in disguise, but it's body weight training as well. And body weight training is great to do, because it gives your body a chance to be like, oh, I don't have to deal with all this resistance. Like, whew, I get a little bit of a break. Your central nervous system is able to calm down. So yeah, dude, I'm totally with that. Try new things. See what you can do.
Yeah, it's all about having that growth mindset too, right? Like, you take on new challenges, it makes your ass stronger.
Yep. I think that's one of the things, and I'll mention this just before we wrap up, is something I'm talking about with my email list a lot this year, is sort of values, and how you define values and what is valuable to you. And a lot of people put their health and fitness on the back burner because it's not valuable. They don't. Yes, it's going to cause. Yeah, it's going to be hard work, and yes, you're going to have to sweat, and your muscles might be sore. But you know, it's not high on their value list. But if it is high on your value list, like, whatever it is, you will find a way to make it happen. If it is valuable to your life, you will make it happen. And I think one thing that I would really challenge anyone listening right now to do, and I know Mike has probably done this himself, is sit down and write down the 10 things that are the most important to you. And then out of those 10, shave that down to like the 5 absolute things you cannot, like they are the most important aspects of your life. And those 5 things, like, those are the things you should focus on. Like, if you have a task come up that doesn't fit into one of those 5 values, don't do it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I've gone even farther. I'm down to 3, and it's not that list of 10 or 5 isn't important to me. It's, I look at what 3 things can I do that will get me to those 5, that will allow me to make sure I'm accomplishing those 5. And, it's meditation, rest, and self-coaching. And that's just a matter of something we haven't thought about talked about, is thought management, which is just a matter of another step of becoming that real life Jedi, is being conscious of how you are thinking. I guess we talked a little bit about that with the workout, right? So, if you are conscious of how what your inner dialogue is when you approach your workout, do you have a positive inner dialogue, or are you down on yourself today? And meditation is something that can really help you be more conscious of your thoughts. So all those three things sort of work in conjunction, right? That thought management, as well as the meditation and the rest. I mean, you know, rest is most important. It doesn't matter if you're trying to meditate or eat well, you know, work out, whatever it might be. A good night's sleep is going to help you.
Yeah. I really like that this is sort of where we kind of come at the end. Like, we got some really good deep stuff here at the end. But I think thought management is crucial. And what I immediately thought of when you said that was Jim Rohn once said that you are the total sum of the five people you spend your most time with, you spend your time with. So here's what I would challenge anyone to also think about is you are the total sum of the five thoughts you continue to tell yourself every single day.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely.
And Mike's got some really good points that, like, you need to examine those thoughts, because if you think you're a failure and tell yourself you're a failure, you will only be a failure. And I know it sounds like woo-woo-y to be like, give yourself a mantra, but if that's what you're telling yourself at everything, it becomes a story that you create and a story that you weave. And I would rather create a story that I want to die on my deathbed and have people read and be like, that guy fucking lived a life, man. Like, he just like, yes, like, that's what I want. And I want to embody that story. And I think sometimes, yeah, maybe you got to commune a little with your inner Kanye and tell yourself that mantra that, yeah, I'm awesome, I can do this, because I'd rather tell myself I can do something than to tell myself I can't do something and wind up just feeling awful.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the human default is to put ourselves down and to think that we're not worthy. And, you know, that's something that everybody has to tackle if you want to be healthy long term.
Yeah.
Right. You got to manage those thoughts. You got to, like you said, with the mantra or whatever it might be.
Yep. Whether it's, I'm a very, very big believer in this, and I'll end this, and just because I think, Mike, I think we're both on the same page that we have a morning routine, that I think the most important time of the day is not going to sleep. It is not your workout. It is not checking your email. It is not the business meeting. It is not waking your kids up. No, all of those are important. The most important time of the day is the first 30 minutes of the day, because that should be your time. The absolute time that you're selfish of everything should be those first 30 minutes. And if that means your workout, that's when you work out. If that's when you meditate, that's when you meditate. But the first 30 minutes, no one should bother you. Get up before everyone else. That's the most selfish time of the day for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yoga and meditation is how I start my day. And I always review my thought management journal, which I usually do at night, which is just a matter of sort of writing things down, what's going through my head. And then, invariably, some of those things are negative, and it's just a matter of trying to change that thought process. And I mean, that is Jedi training right there, where, you know, if I can do that enough in the evening or just during the day when I'm writing, then the idea is that I'm training myself during the day to recognize those negative thoughts as they come up and reframe them to something more positive or at least neutral, right, during the day. So,
all right, I like that. Mike, if people want to know more about you, where can they find Force Within on the internet and social?
So forcewithin.net. Is where you can, it'd be great if you'd head over there. There is there's a three-step process to reduce stress and develop a better mindset, that you can sign up for there right now. And, that'll guide you through, what I just mentioned, actually the box breathing, as well as the thought management. You can also find me on social media at Force Within TV. The TV part of that is mentioning my upcoming YouTube channel. So I'm looking forward to getting that rolling. It might be a month or two before it happens, because there's quite a bit of just to get set up on Force Within, but it is coming. Absolutely. And Yeah, it'd be great. Hit me up on Instagram. You know, I'm pretty, Rob, you know, I'm pretty active on Instagram now. Really enjoying it. I've been enjoying your content. And, you know, just trying to put up some Star Wars related as well as meditation and thought management sort of thought provoking things on there. So I'm not much of a photographer, but I do my best.
Awesome. Well, guys, head over to forcewithin.net and I'll have all this as well and everything we talked about, sidequestfitness.com/forcewithin, so you can get over to Mike in the show notes and find all the links to everything we talked about. Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Thank you for having me.
Step up and you gotta get it fitness. Host Rob at the moment and the quest is, you gotta check it and wreck it. You're breaking personal records, and with the help of the guests, you won't be guessing on the lessons. That's a +5 fierce. Got a low-key BAMF right here. You want to meet him, there's no better way to greet him than to strike a boss pose. Take a look into the mirror.
Hey guys, if you want more and you want to hear the DLC episode from Mike, which you totally got to check out because we nerd out on some awesome Star Wars stuff and RPGs, head over to sidequestfitness.com/DLC. It is absolutely free. This is free content that I'm giving out to you as listeners, but you got to sign up for the email list so that I can send it to you every single Monday, bright and early, so that you can check out the awesome stuff that me and my guests talk about and nerd out on the more video game, comic books, sports, whatever it is that we nerd out on. Could be books, could be Picasso paintings. Doesn't matter. We're going to nerd out on something outside of fitness. So if you want to hear that, if you want to enjoy the fun, and tons of people are already loving the DLC episodes that are coming out, head over sidequestfitness.com/DLC and get your free DLC right meow.